Hey everyone, how are you doing? I am back with you and just wanted to give you some hope if you feel hopeless, encourage you if you feel discouraged. And that's kind of like the topic today that I want to talk to you about because I want to encourage you with everything going on in DC with people feeling disenfranchised with their votes, with people, maybe missing their president, Donald Trump, whatever that might look like. If you've are unemployed, it would if you've lost someone in the year 2020, I just want to give you hope today. So that's what I want to talk about. And one of the things that I want to encourage everyone to do is support like-minded businesses. And in the links below, I'll post some of the links for my business. For instance, like I love using essential oils. This one's called Genius. This one helps me when I really need to concentrate and think. I was going to grab my stress away because let's face it, it's been a stressful kind of month. Oh, that smells so good. So I'll have the link below if you want to support me with that. And I also have another business that I do, which helps build legacy wealth. We deal with the three curveballs of life: dying too soon, getting ill or injured, or not having enough money. I've been able to work with families and get their kids started on a program and then themselves started on something. I work with small businesses and help them save 40% off or 40% on their benefits for their employees. So I'll have a link to a description on a video. I'll have a link and I'll have a video on what I do there. So if you're interested in building legacy wealth, it's not just for the wealthy anymore. It's come down to middle America. I can show you how to do that. And so one of the ways that we can help each other in this time, especially in the time of cancel culture, is to come together as people and use our pocketbook, because our pocketbook is one of the biggest tools we have. There's a group I am a part of that is Bible believing, and they're business owners that are conservatives. And the whole group idea is to support each other in our businesses, especially with cancel culture. If we come against what the mainstream media and what the left wants us to say, then you can be attacked like Mike Lindell and lose the opportunity to put his product in stores. He can't sell his product on those shopping networks. I mean, he's come under a lot of attack just because he met with the president of the United States to show him some stuff that he feels were fraud related with the 2020 election. I just don't, it's hard for me to believe. Do you feel like you're in the twilight zone? Because I feel like I'm in the twilight zone. It's just like in America, in our country, you can get canceled for this kind of stuff in the land of the supposed free. It's just crazy. So that's one way you can give hope to people is supporting their business if they are your people. And even if for instance, like people use their pocketbook when Disney fired Gina Carano, which I thought was really powerful, but people aren't just intentionally going out there and stripping their business from the opposite side. It's not until they take a stand against them, against their customers, that they're like, well, I don't need to spend my hard-earned money over there. So, anyways, I'm digressing a little bit, but the links are in the description because you are here to get hope about the election, and I'm going to give it to you. And you want hope against what's going on in our world with DC, and I'm going to give that to you. But I really want to focus on the state. The state you live on is more important than Washington, D.C. Our founding fathers were extremely intelligent in how they designed our government and our laws. And they have protection over protection over protection over protection. Okay. So we have what is called state rights. And your state, honestly, the most important government in your life is your state legislature. They're supposed to be the most powerful branch of the military, most powerful branch of the government, because the government's supposed to be ruled for the people by the people, and they're supposed to represent us, right? And in the state of Arizona, the Arizona legislature has been doing a fantastic job trying to they're not everyone in the legislature. There's a core group in the legislature that are amazing, and they have been listening to their people. And honestly, they're one of the few. They're one of the very few that are listening to their people. And they've been attacked for it. It hasn't been easy. The Maricopa County audit's been one of the hardest things that they've had to accomplish. They were chomping at the bit to come back to session. The governor wasn't calling them into session. The Speaker of the House wasn't calling his side into any kind of committees or anything like that, which was really frustrating to the people. And President Karen Fann of the Senate called in the Judiciary Committee, which is head over the election process in Arizona, and they called them, and they figured out they had Mayor Rudy Giuliani come with his legislative hearings. And I spoke to the man a couple days ago who led that up. And if I'm going to put a link to his show, because his show is really good. He is actually in the know. And I got to speak with him a couple days ago. He is involved in the audits, or at least he is in the inner circles of the audits. So he is in the know with the senator over the Judiciary Committee, and his name is escaping me at the moment. And he knows the man on the House side that is involved with all the election stuff. And he was the one who brought Rudy Giuliani down and was in helping with getting that down to Arizona State Legislature. Okay, so I'm going to put a link on his show because he's a really great one to follow, and he really knows everything that's going on. I mean, I know too, because I have been blessed to have connections and get in contact on a regular basis with my reps. And one thing I want to encourage you to do is, if you want to know what you can do because you feel like you can't do anything, you're one person, I want to tell you, God puts tools in people's hands. My dad did a sermon on Sunday about David and Goliath. Okay, David was a young kid, and the tool he had in his hand was a slingshot. He killed a bear, and I think it was a wolf, I think, with a slingshot. Can you believe that? He killed bears and wolves with a slingshot. He was a shepherd protecting the sheep. And oh my gosh, that would be so scary to me. I'd rather have a rifle than a slingshot if I'm coming across a bear. But that's not the tool that David had. He had a slingshot, and he was really good at it. And because he knew that Goliath was what's the word I want to use? I can't even think of the word I want to use. I know what I want to say, but the word's just not coming to me. But Goliath was just blaspheming. There you go. The God, his God, okay, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that has done miracle after miracle for his people. He was blaspheming God. And you know what? David wasn't going to stand for it. He was this young kid, and the king, Saul, was quivering. The king was scared of this giant. The giant was 9 foot tall. These Philistines were like huge. They're 9 feet tall. They're huge men. And they're going into battle. And then the Israelites were probably a lot shorter than that, I would imagine. And the king himself was too scared to go against Goliath, and the warriors, the army, the military was frightened. But here's this young kid. Sometimes it's good to be young because you're fearless. You haven't had the years of being knocked down. You have this fearlessness. And I want to encourage you, try to reach back to your youth, the times when you felt like you can conquer the world. And those teenagers are usually the years that we feel like nothing can stop us. We're invincible. We can do everything. Maybe we need to go back and kind of drum up those feelings that we had as teenagers, because we're going against our Goliaths. You know, the legislature has gone against their Goliaths. It's not just they're sheltered because they're in government. They are not sheltered because they are in government. The Arizona legislature have been attacked every which way, including being attacked by a subordinate subgroup of them called the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. They've thumbed their nose at the state legislature that is on top of them, that is basically their boss, because they are a subgroup of the legislature. The legislature created them to help them with elections. And they thumbed their nose at the state legislature. They went against subpoenas. They ignored them and ignored them. They sued their own boss. They sued the legislature. They were basically trying to undermine their authority. Can you imagine what chaos that would have been for the state of Arizona if other counties and other cities thumbed their nose and disregarded the authority of the legislative branch? The authority of we the people is basically what they did. The authority of the governing body is you and I and us. And we represent those people. We have them go before the state and represent our wishes. So those people were thumbing their nose at we the people. That's why we the people got upset. We the people, AZ Alliance, got upset and recalled them because how dare you? How dare you? But imagine the chaos if that small sub branch of government doesn't listen to the legislature. And then can you imagine cities and other counties? There'd be total chaos in our state. And they were going against the Constitution, the Arizona Constitution, which everyone swears that we will uphold. So God gave David the slingshot, and God gave me this microphone. I don't need thousands of people to listen to me. I just need you to listen to me. You are who I'm supposed to talk to today. God wants me to talk to you specifically to give you hope, to let you know that you are somebody. I've been doing a Bible study. Okay. It's a great Bible study. I highly recommend it. It's called Gideon, and it's Your Weakness and God's Strength. And it's by Priscilla Shire. Okay. It's backwards, probably, I'm sure, on the computer, but I highly recommend it because I don't know when this lady wrote this Bible study. I'm not really sure. But all I know is God placed this Bible study in my hands for such a time as this. So I will be encouraged so I can remember that what happens today isn't any news to God. It happens many, many times over throughout mankind's history. She has a diagram on page 22, and I'll read it to you because I know it's hard to see it. But basically, this is where we're at in the circle. And it's a circle, and it continues to happen. And God has so much patience. And I'm so surprised that God has this much patience with us because just be glad I'm not God. Okay, so this is what happens. We first reject God's ways, and then the God's people decline, which allows consequences allowed by God's hand because he always wants us to come back to him. And then what happens? We cry out to God, help us, help us, help us. And then God restores a relationship and we feel God's presence again. So rejection of God's ways, decline of God's people, consequences allowed by God's hand, restored relationship to God's presence. And this is what happens time and time again. And what I want to talk to you about Gideon was Gideon was the least of his tribe, the youngest in his family, I believe. So he really wasn't anybody, okay? But God wanted to use that nobody to do big things. And what he did was there was a Midian army, there was a Midian country, a Midian group that was over the Israelites, okay? And they were oppressing them. And every time it came to harvest time, they would take almost all of their food. And when God found Gideon was threshing wheat, not on a threshing floor where it's open and airy, but in a wine, near a wine press under an oak tree where it was much difficult to thresh the wheat. And God was right there and met David, and he said, "Hey, valiant warrior." And the reason why that is amazing that he called him a valiant warrior was because he was kind of in hiding. He didn't want the Midians to take his wheat from him, and he was hiding. Do you really think of valiant warrior? When you think of a valiant warrior as someone who's hiding, I certainly don't. But God saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't even see in himself. Right now, we're in an identity crisis in our country. People don't know who they are anymore. And it's really sad because people are hanging their identities on their sexuality, on their sexual preference. If they're a girl or a boy, people don't even know if they are a girl or a boy. I mean, it's just insane. But God knows who you are. And you know why God knows who you are? Because God created you. And God knows exactly who you are. And I'm going to tell you who you are. And I want to give you the proper identity that only God can give you. No one else can, because God's the one who made you. And that's why I'm glad you are listening right now, because this message is just for you. I don't care if I have a million followers, I just need you. And God placed you for just a time as this, so I can tell you who you are. You are made in the image of God. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. When God put knit you together in your mother's womb, he was rejoicing over you with singing and gladness. He picked the color eyes you would have. He put the talents in you that he wanted you to have. He had a plan and a purpose just for you that only you can do and no one else can do. But if you decide not to do it, he will use somebody else. He knows the hairs that are on your head. He knows when you wake up and when you lie down. He knows that there's pain in your heart, and he promises that one day he's going to wipe away every tear from your eye and take away all the pain you've ever suffered on this earth. And I know that because God has done stuff for me in my life, and I've suffered some tremendous pain in my life. Just last year, he took my best friend, but even then, I've had 4 miscarriages. I've lost 4 babies. And it's devastating to me that there was, that I had to go through that many times, losing one baby after another, getting to a point where I almost wasn't able to have children anymore. It took years to even get pregnant to begin with. And then one of my fallopian tubes ruptured in an ectopic pregnancy. My life was on the line. I was dying, basically. I could die, like an appendix ruptured. Same thing happened to me with my fallopian tube, sent into emergency surgery. Then I already have infertility issues, which leads me also to why I love essential oils so much, because I really feel like a lot of the chemicals I was using on my body led to my infertility. And then I tried to get pregnant again, and my only fallopian tube had another ectopic pregnancy. I thought that was going to be the end of me being a mom, but at least I was a mom, and I was glad about that, but so sad that that chapter was going to end for me. But God did save that fallopian tube. That baby is in heaven with God. And I was able to have one more child. And in my pregnancies, I was hospitalized. My life was on the line with my pregnancies, my 2 pregnancies. So it was scary for me to even have children. It wasn't safe for me to have children. I'm lucky I have the 2 I have, but I had a lot of hardship. And you want to tell a mom not to be sad and not to be depressed and not to hate God because she lost her babies? I hated God. So sad. But whatever crisis and identity you're going through, my identity was in my femininity. My body wasn't working. I couldn't make children. I couldn't have children. I couldn't carry children. I mean, that's what a woman does. A woman's supposed to bear children. I couldn't give my husband a child. I felt less than a woman. It was horrible. I had identity crisis. I did. I didn't feel like I was a man, but I certainly felt less than a woman. And it was hard. It was very hard to go through. So I can relate. If you're going through an identity crisis, I can relate to that. But God pulled me through it, and I had to go back to what God said, who I was. I was made in the image of him. I was knit by him in my mother's womb. Like, he put me together, like cell by cell. He rejoiced over me with singing. He died for me because he loved me so much. And he died for you too. So that's your identity. It's not if you were a woman or a man. It's not if you're gay or straight. It's not if you're left or right. Your identity is that. That is your identity. And hold on to that. Don't let everybody else tell you who you are. That's who you are. What God says is who you are. Okay. And so we want to shift now to what's going on in the world. Now, I know that you probably know, this battle is not about flesh and blood. It's about powers and principalities. And that's what the Bible teaches us. Our war is not against flesh and blood, me and you, left or right. It's about powers and principalities in the heavenly places. And I want to talk about Daniel chapter 10. And God told me this so many years ago when I was at the radio station, so many years ago. He brought this to me, and I've been praying ever since to come against this spirit. Let me tell you about it. So I'll start at the beginning, Daniel chapter 10. In the 3rd year of King Cyrus of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At the time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat, wine touched my lips. I had no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. So he went into a certain kind of fast. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I'm about to give you a description of an angel. And I want you to really listen to this description. It's not like your typical white robe angel. Okay, so listen to this description. And this is what some angels look like. Okay. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold wrapped around his waist. His body was like chrysolite. His face was like what lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of brushed bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. If I saw this angel, I would quake. I would be so scared. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not. But such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So they knew something was going on. They just didn't know what, but it was enough to freak them out. I guess if you've ever felt like the hairs raise against like your neck, where like you can't see something, but you kind of feel like something's there, maybe that's kind of the feeling they got. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision, and I had no strength left, and my face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. And then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up. I know I've been sent to you. And when he said this, I stood trembling. I would tremble too. And then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you set your, this is the most important part of the passage to me. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, this is the archangel, one of the top angel, okay, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now, I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. And I'm going to stop there because what God was telling me about this passage when I was reading it at the radio station doing my shows back then, he was telling me that the Prince of Persia is over a nation. The Prince of Persia is a strong demonic force that is trying to take over our nation, and they're doing a very good job. And I want to bring to light how strong this prince of Persia is, this demonic presence that's over it. We both know that angels are very powerful beings, super powerful. But this particular angel that had a message directly to give Daniel from God was stuck in a spiritual battle, literally, if you can think like angel against angel, like soldier against soldier in the heavenly realms. He was stuck there. He could not defeat this. He could not defeat this angel, okay? For 21 days, he could not defeat this dark presence, this dark demonic presence. It took God sending Michael, the archangel, the highest angel in the heavenly realms, to release this angel to fight on that angel's behalf to send the message to Daniel. That's what's happening in our nation right now. Okay. I have been praying over our nation since I got this message about how the stronghold, if this demonic presence, okay, can stop an angel who's super strong and he can't get free of this demonic presence. What about you and I? We stand no chance unless we stand with God and ask God for help. We stand no chance. We are definitely not as powerful as an angel, but we are kings. We are children of the Most High God. And as children of the Most High God, we have more authority than the angels. Okay. And how we can use that authority that God gave us is definitely by praying, humbling ourselves, asking God, here am I, send me. What can I do? So, what I can do is be on the mic. What I can do is participate in the recalls. What I can do is call my legislatures. What I can do is encourage them. What I can do is talk to my fellow neighbors. What I can do is go to the school boards and demand that they put my children in school. What I can do is demand that they have good curriculum that is not indoctrinating my children. Sex doesn't need to be discussed in school. Sexual orientation doesn't need to be discussed in school. Who you love doesn't need to be discussed in school. Changing from a girl to a boy doesn't need to be discussed in school. Those are all family matters. Those are matters that the parents can deal with their own children. It's not the teacher's responsibility to teach your children those things. What your teachers need to do is teach them how to build a mathematical equation, how to have a proper grammatical structure when you're writing sentences, how to have a scientific method and figure out how you can solve like world's problems, like diseases, viruses, sending a rocket into space, things like that. Talking about the true history of our nation, not taking us back to 1600 when we just came here over having the imperial king of England over us. Our nation didn't start till 1776. Okay. Not rewriting history, talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly, okay? There's good, bad, and ugly in every nation, but our nation is still a great nation, even though we had some bad things that happened. We're an imperfect people, and to expect perfect people to have perfection is impossible. There's not a perfect Christian. There's not a perfect church. There's not a perfect government. There's not a perfect country. You cannot expect imperfect people to have perfection. What some of the founding fathers did in our past was wrong, just wrong. Can't do anything about it. They're imperfect people. They're going to sin. They're going to do wrong things, but they can make things right. And I think over time we've tried to do that. So what one side wants to do is bring hate. The other side says, oh, why do we have to keep bringing up hate? We can't control what we look like. Okay. You can't legislate hate out of someone's heart. You can't do it. Only God can change the heart of man. Hate is a sin. Can't change hearts. You can't legislate hate out of someone's heart. You just can't. It's impossible. All you can do is control who you are and teach your kids the best you can do. But what you can do is do something. Take the tool that's in your hand right now, whatever that is. For me, it's a microphone. Okay. It's me doing something. I really respect my legislature. My rep in the house, I really respect him. And I told him, I'm going to volunteer for your campaign because I believe in what you're doing. That is something I can do. That is something you can do. You can go to your precinct committee meetings. That is something you can do. There, don't just say, I am just nobody. Gideon was nobody. And God used him to defeat a huge military presence with 300 men. George Washington was a nobody, but he defeated the largest military power in the world. Why? Because God was with him. God was with George Washington. God was with Gideon. God was with Daniel. God brought Daniel a message from the heavenly realms. God put Daniel in the presence of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he brought salvation into that household. And the king, who was very, he was in another religion altogether, came to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay. God has put me in the realm of being in communication with my reps. Okay. I have to take what God gave me and the past he opened up to me and take opportunities and not just recognize. That's one thing we, in this Bible study, she brought to my attention that the ordinary is not ordinary. So me just getting in touch with my reps is not just an ordinary thing. If we've been in constant communication since July, that's not an ordinary thing. That's God putting two people together to do something. That's me encouraging my rep. That's me letting my voice be heard and getting stuff off my chest and letting him listen or her listen in the Congress, because I've been called by her too. That's me being able to share, this is the legislation I'd like to see. God, you know, people do business with those they know, like, and trust. Okay. I'm building likability and trust, hopefully, with my people in representatives. Okay. I hope so. And I hope that means that I'm going to be a difference maker. I'm going to be maybe the Daniel that talks to the king. Okay. There's been numerous Bible passages, numerous people in the Bible that have had direct contact with the heads of state, that God puts people in such a time, they're nobody, but he put them in heads of state. God took David and made him a king. He was a shepherd boy, the least in his family, the least in his tribe, and made him the king over Israel. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for him. What you can do is pray for the Arizona legislatures that have been bombarded every way possible, left, upside down, every way possible. Pray for them. Pray for the people in Washington, D.C. who are fighting for God's principles. The prayer I've been praying is I'm asking God to the line of Judah to stand behind the people that value the things he values, whether it's in the House or in Washington, D.C., and stand behind them, that loud lion voice, that when they speak the things about God, what God values, that their enemies will fear and tremble because their voice will be so loud, just like the people in Daniel chapter 10. They didn't know that there was an angel standing before Daniel, but they were afraid and they fled. And I'm just asking the Lord to stand behind them, the line of Judah, to stand behind these guys who are out there on the forefront. And it's scary. They're in front of their Goliaths. It's not easy. They're in front of their enemies that are so mean, that are cancel culture, that are taking businesses away. I mean, these big tech companies and all these other companies that are just trying to take their, cancel them and trying to take businesses away from them. And they're standing in front of these huge Goliaths. And it's scary. It would be scary to be a member in Washington, D.C. And it'd be scary if you were the Arizona state legislature going against the machine. It would be scary. So what you can do for them is pray. Send them an email and encourage them and say, hey, thank you for what you're doing. I know what you're doing is hard. And I know it's taking a long time because nothing in government is fast and easy. It's very hard. But those are the things you can do. And I want you to be encouraged because God's moving in our country. And I don't know what will happen if Donald Trump will be back into his presidency or not. I don't know. But God used Donald Trump to start something amazing. He might not be our president at this very moment. But his what he started 4 years ago, encouraging us to get rid of the swamp. Maybe he didn't do it directly, but he's helping us get rid of those who are not serving us. He is putting people, whispering people into people's ears to start recalls, like Gavin Newsom's being recalled in Arizona. A whole bunch of their people are being recalled. And I'm guaranteeing you it's going to spread across the nation like fire. The old ways of government are gone. If you are going to be self-serving, you're gone. If you're not going to listen to your people, you're gone. It's going to change. I mean, the old way of doing things is not going to happen anymore. And if you are an elected official and you are not serving your people, you have to be nervous right now because a lot of your fellow colleagues are getting recalled and going to lose their position of power. Because God's going to do something amazing. And God is using you right now. You're on this channel right now listening. So subscribe and hit the bell so you always know when new videos are coming on. And he put you for such a time as this to listen to this show to encourage you to do something because God is going to use you, your little old you, just like little old me, to do something amazing in this country. So check out the links below. And, you know, let's support one another in our businesses. And you definitely can support me in mine. I look forward to seeing you in the future. And I just want to let you know there's hope. Things are happening, just happening slow, but things are happening. Don't focus on DC. Focus on your state. That's where your focus should be on, because those are the people that are going to really have an impact on you, not DC. I mean, eventually, but you can't have a strong DC until you have a strong state. When you have a strong state, then you can have a strong DC. So focus on your state, be hopeful. God is moving on your behalf and God wanted you to listen right now because he has that encouraging message for you. Take care.